Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Artificial intelligence has come a long way over just the past 5 years. It can hold conversations and manage social media. It can create art and edit videos. And it can even write blogs, though not this one. Every aspect of our lives has been touched by AI in one way or another, and that's particularly true for sound. While many podcasters, including some of my guests, now use AI tools for research and sound editing, it's also front and center in sound, from cloning voices to writing its own songs. Royalty-free music is already starting to give way to copyright-free AI music, and a variety of powerful audio content generation tools are scheduled for release later this year. But can computers replace human composers? Will listeners be able to tell the difference? And how did we get from vinyl records to virtual music? It may seem hard to believe, but the very first song written by a computer is older than cassette tapes. The Iliac Suite, or String Quartet No. 4, as it's officially named, was created in 1955 using pioneering techniques still found in AI today. The Iliac 1 was one of the world's first computers. It was built in 1952 at the University of Illinois, and it filled an entire room. The Iliac 1 weighed 5 tons and used over 2,000 vacuum tubes, some of which had to be replaced each night. A pair of music professors, LeJaron Hiller and Leonard Isaacson, programmed the Iliac to compose a string quartet using what's called stochastic music, music that's written using probability calculations and mathematical sequences, in this case, Markov chains, instead of human inspiration. Here's a portion of the world's first computer-generated song programmed in 1955 and released 2 years later. One of the researchers who helped build the Iliac 1 was Saburo Moroga, who also built the Musashino later that year in Japan. And as it happens, another breakthrough in computer-generated music would emerge from Japan exactly 50 years after the Iliac Suite's release. Synthetic voices were the next step in creating digital music, and in 1961, the IBM 7094 became the first computer to sing a song, Daisy Bell. Another computer voice that could sing was called Perfect Paul, and it was one of the voice settings on 1983's text-to-speech DeckTalk device. This is the speech synthesizer Professor Stephen Hawking used in his later years, and it was based on the voice of MIT researcher Dennis Klatt. The next decade brought us AutoTune, which can digitally modulate singing voices in real time and has become, for better or worse, a staple of pop music. These developments all came together in 2004 as Vocaloids, synthesized voices that can talk and sing with perfect pitch. The most famous of them by far is Krypton Future Media's Hatsune Miku, a second-generation Vocaloid who debuted in 2007. While there have been 4 more generations and many more voices since then, Miku is the one who captured the public's eyes and ears. Arguably the world's first virtual celebrity, she's opened for Lady Gaga, put in a holographic appearance at the 2024 Coachella Festival, and just wrapped up her latest Miku Expo World Tour last December. If you'd like to hear and see her performance live on The Late Show with David Letterman back in 2014, you can find a link to the YouTube video clip on my blog. And there's a sample of the audio for you to listen to right here. In some ways, Miku and the vocaloids that followed marked a turning point in synthetic voices. Older synthesizers like Perfect Paul and Microsoft Sam couldn't be mistaken for an ordinary person, but vocaloids came closer than anything before. So close, in fact, that some music critics have said they fall into a sort of audio uncanny valley. They sound almost, but not quite, human. Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show. Now it's the year 2025, and AI has taken the stage. It's talking, singing, composing, and even creating whole new kinds of sound. Both OpenAI's Jukebox and Google's AI Music LM can convert text into music, and NVIDIA's upcoming Fagato software is described as a sonic Swiss Army knife for creating sounds that have never existed, like a screaming saxophone or a trumpet that meows. Another new song generation service by Musical AI and Beethoven AI that's set to release later this year promises to share revenue with its 3 million musical sources, even as it composes custom audio tracks for enterprise clients. And just like before, some critics worry that all this AI-driven music is bound to fall into the uncanny valley, the gap where it's more disturbing than impressive. Patton, an experimental musician from London, released a text-to-audio AI album in 2023 called Mirage FM with 21 tracks. Is the resulting sound intriguing, eerie, or maybe even a hint of both? I'll play a sample of the first song, Inhale, here, so that you can decide for yourself. A series of studies in 2019 by audio companies Veritonic, Amper Music, and Tidio discovered that listeners often don't trust themselves enough to recognize machine-generated music. The study's participants would, more often than not, just guess that the most complicated track in any given list of songs must be the one written by a computer. A 2023 study by the University of York, however, found that listeners do prefer human-created music to its AI counterpart, and deep learning didn't make much of a difference in their preferences. Old-fashioned computer compositions, the sort that Iliac 1 might have written, scored about the same as the latest models, and none of them did as well as music written by a person. Even when listeners don't believe they can tell the difference, there is a genuine emotional element in human music that's still lacking in AI sound. We might not be consciously aware of it, but we do sense it. There's always the worry that AI could replace human artists, that it might become better than us or just crowd us out of the market. But it also has the power to help unlock our imagination and empower creators. Whether it's a young songwriter who can use a Vocaloid on their album, or an artist or writer who can use AI to transform their creative visions into melodies. And human music isn't going anywhere just yet. As Patton puts it, making music that feels like something, people find that quite difficult to do. There's no formula for a piece of music that people find touching. Likewise, our human voice is the sum of our lived experiences, and computers just don't have that. Not yet, at least. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.